Well, we have been making our way through Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, and we have slowed down radically in the last few weeks, and we remain at this slow pace as we go along. What we have kind of labeled this little section is pillars for everyday life. And so we take this morning another pillar for everyday life from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, living thankfully. That's our theme this morning. I hope your heart has been warmed by what we have done already. And it seems to me that this keys so beautifully. We can live with thankfulness if we live trusting the Lord. That's such a powerful combination. We live in a world of hurt. Many people deal with some kind of hurt every day. They deal with physical hurt, illness or injury. They deal with moral hurt, guilt or temptation. They deal with mental hurt, depression, anxiety, fear, regret. They deal with relational hurt from family, friends, workmates, roommates. They deal with financial hurt, too much month and too little money. In this world, Paul writes these words: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's what he writes. He knows about the hurt in the world. I mean, Paul was no stranger to hurt, right? He knows about all that, and this is what he writes. Now, as I thought of this, I thought these could be called a happy Thanksgiving versus rejoice, that's happy, and give thanks all the time. But we can, of course, take them for the whole year. Now, our particular text, Jerry has already dealt with the first part of this, rejoice always, and Paul last week dealt with pray continually, and now we come to give thanks in all circumstances. That's our text this morning: give thanks in all circumstances. Now, this is not a lonely text in the Scriptures. We have, for example, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request to God. Right? Or we have in Ephesians chapter 5, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. Always giving thanks. Someone said prayer and thanksgiving are the two wings that raise us up to God. Or K. Arthur said, God is in control, and therefore in everything I can give thanks. Not because of the situation, but because of the one who directs and rules over it. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not for the circumstances, but in the circumstances. We don't give thanks for an accident or an injury or an illness. We don't give thanks for a broken relationship. We don't give thanks for financial hardship. We don't give thanks for losing a job or losing a job opportunity. We don't give thanks for everything. We give thanks in everything. Giving thanks in those things is the same as trusting God. It's the same as trusting God. I am saying, Lord, you're in charge. You can handle this. And I give thanks for that. That's giving thanks in these circumstances. I have often said, verbally and more often said it in my heart, how do people cope with life who do not know God? Have you said that? How do people cope? In Psalm 138, we read these words, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. Now, if you are a believer, and I hope that this is the case, I hope that you're a believer, but if you're a believer, And I hope this is also the case. You live in a different world. We have two different worlds going on. And I hope you live in the right world. Here's the world that most people live in. Most people live in the world. And that's it. That's what they know, right? I think as believers, we live in this world. We live in a world that is ruled by God, sustained by God, cared for by God. We live in a different world. And we have that endorsed to us in Scripture in these words. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now let me pause on that verse for a moment, because I'm going to come back to it at least one other time as we go through here. But let's pause and think about what this verse says. And I want to highlight two things. All things work together for good. That does not mean our immediate happiness, but it does mean our spiritual and eternal welfare, right? It means our spiritual and eternal welfare. Whatever happens, whatever circumstance I find myself in, God is going to make that work together for my ultimate good. And then the second thing I want to notice is that it is according to His purpose. Now, I don't care whether you think about it in the overall purpose of life or whether you think of it in today's purpose, what are you going to do today? But you and I have purposes. We have things that we want to do. We have things that we want to accomplish and whatnot. I don't know. How many of you are goal-oriented people? Bless your hearts. The frustration must be awful. The rest of us just float along in life. Let me ask you a question. Whose purpose is better? Yours, mine, or God's? Huh? He says, those who are called according to His purpose. That's who God ministers to in this way, to make all things work together for good. For good. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And it goes like this. I am confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God has a purpose. God has a plan for your life and mine. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. Will bring it to completion. At the day of Jesus Christ. What an amazing assurance. And in the understanding of that, we need to be thankful in all circumstances. Thankful in all circumstances. Well, you say, okay, it's easy to be thankful in good circumstances, but what about tough circumstances? What about tough circumstances? Let me ask you a question. And answer me, please. How have you seen people respond to trouble? How have you seen people respond to trouble? Just anyone who comes to mind. Angry. Some people are angry when they are in trouble. Yeah, some people get depressed. Some people say, why me? I tend to say, Lord, why did you bless me? They end their life. The ultimate response, they end their life. What else? They cry. Take it out on others. All kinds of responses to trouble. In chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, which we have already looked at, Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica, and he had a purpose in sending him. He sent him in order to encourage the Thessalonians in their persecution. And you know what Paul said about that? He said that they were appointed to extraordinary suffering. Wow. That's sort of the biblical answer to the health and wealth gospel. You know, everything's going to be rosy and fair. No, they were appointed to extraordinary sufferings. And Paul, now that, understand the context here. That doesn't mean that Paul says, well, you were appointed to suffering, so go for it. He was concerned about them. He was concerned about them. And he sent Timothy specifically to inquire how they were doing in their sufferings. Now, let me give you three scenarios. And we could multiply, any one of us could multiply these, right? Here's the first scenario. If someone is in trouble and they are complaining, that does not add up to thanksgiving, right? You can't complain and be thankful at the same time. I think those are clearly incompatible. Then there are some people who don't complain, but they just grit it out. I mean, they grit their teeth and go for it. And grit is a good thing under certain circumstances, but that's not the same as thanksgiving, right? Grit is not thanksgiving. And then if you have in your troubles faith, now you can have thanksgiving. If we're trusting in God in our troubles, we can have thanksgiving. Now, this does not all come in a vacuum, so let me suggest to you three things that I think are relevant. Number one, Paul knows all about suffering, and he wrote these words in the midst of his suffering in Romans chapter 5. He said, not only this, but we also exult in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proves proven character, and proven character, hope. Paul knew that his sufferings were purposeful. Purposeful. They work something in our lives. They have a purpose in the hand of God. The second thing is hope. That if we are in trouble, if we are in suffering, an important aspect of what we need is hope. We hope that it will finish. Let me suggest to you a quote from Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was in the prison camp, and she said, "Before long, we were holding clandestine Bible study groups for an ever-growing group of believers. And Barracks 28 became known throughout the camp as the crazy place where they hope." Huh? They evidenced the hope that they had in God. I had an uncle who was in a Japanese prison camp for 3 years. In the jungle. He worked on the railway of death. And one of the things that he said was, the thing that mainly sustained these men was hope. Hope that they would be rescued. Hope that this terrible war would come to an end. Hope that they would get out of this situation. The third thing that we have that we need, I think, is that it requires confidence in God's providence. William Carey was a pioneer missionary to India, and he went there and he accomplished a great number of things. He did some wonderful things for the people and for the society there. And at some point, it was quite a fight to get there. And then after a time of being there, some of the believers back home in Britain understood that he was doing good things, and they sent along a printer, that is a man who had a printer by trade. And he took with him a printing press and all the accoutrements and all that stuff. And Carey began to turn out translations of the Bible. And he employed native speakers of these languages, and he began to turn out these translations. And he turned out grammars, because you have to have a grammar to do translation, and lexicons and all that kind of thing. And he built a long building where he housed all of this work. He went away on a trip one day, and for some reason the building burned to the ground. Everything. The manuscripts, the paper, the lead type was melted, the whole thing. It was totally destroyed. And Carey came back. And he was shown the ruins. What would you do? He did not waste a moment on self-pity. He said, Lord, thank you that I have the strength to do it again. Whew. Could you do that? I don't know if I could. Thank you that I have the strength to do it again. And before his death, he in fact did it again. He produced all that again, and some of his work was improved over the first time. Huh? Thank you, Lord. He was thankful. I think the key to it was that he did not see this work that had been destroyed as his work. He saw it as God's work. And it was under God's providence it was destroyed. And he trusted God to renew it. And it can all be summed up in this. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, often we need trouble to bring us to God, don't we? C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, and shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I want you, if you would like to, with me just now, turn in your Bible to Psalm 107. If you'd like to turn to Psalm 107, I want to just work through a few verses here and suggest the pattern. We read this in our men's Saturday morning prayer meeting a few weeks ago, and I said, we'll use that when I'm speaking this Sunday. So Psalm 107. Let me read as an introduction the first few verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west and from north and south. And then the psalmist does something rather spectacular. He goes through a series of vignettes, and they start like this. Verse 4, some wandered in the desert wastelands. Verse 10, some sat in darkness. Verse 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways. Verse 23, some went out on the sea in ships. And he goes through a series of scenes where he describes what people have done. And here's what I want to suggest to you. I want to suggest to you that they break down something like this, beginning to read in verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to the city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty. That's their trouble. All right? They're hungry and thirsty. Then they cried out to the Lord. That's their prayer. And he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight path. That's their provision. Verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. See? That's the pattern. And that's the pattern that the psalmist follows in all of these little segments. He says, people are in trouble. They pray to God. He provides for them, and they're called to give thanks to him. Right? Look at it in verse 10. Some sat in the darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's command and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. That's their trouble. Here's their prayer. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. That's the provision. He brought them out of darkness, utter darkness, broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord. That's the thanksgiving. They're in trouble. They pray, Lord provides, and they're to give thanks. Or look at it in verse 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. That's their trials. Then they cried to the Lord in their troubles. That's their prayer. Verse 20. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. That's the provision. Let them give thanks to the Lord. Next one, verse 23. Some went out to the sea in ships. They were merchants in mighty waters, and they saw the work of the Lord and his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up the tempest, and they lifted up the high waves, and they mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. That's an extremely scary thing. In their peril, their courage melted away. That's their trouble. They reeled and staggered. Verse 28. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And verse 29, the provision. He settled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when they grew calm. Verse 31, let them give thanks to the Lord. Same pattern all the way through. Sometimes we face trials in order to hear the voice of God calling to us to turn to Him. We need to face these trials in order to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, sometimes, in fact, it's a bit difficult, impossible, to be in this state of mind. Let me tell you a little story from Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel is a remarkable individual. I recently read his little book, Night, which is the story of his prison years, his years in the prison camps. He spent a number of years in prison camps, and when he saw the furnaces, he wrote, "Never shall I forget those flames that consumed my faith forever. Never shall I forget those moments that murdered my God and my soul and turned my dreams to ashes." That's how bad it was. On one occasion, there were two men and a boy hung in the camp from ropes by their necks. And the two men died quite soon after they were hung. But the boy's body was too light, and he didn't die. And I can't read you the details. It's too gruesome. They were watching, and Wiesel said this, "Behind me, I heard a man asking, 'For God's sake, where is God?' And from within me, I heard a voice answer, 'Where he is, this is where, hanging here from this gallows.'" He lost his faith. He recovered his faith. His faith came back. And when his faith came back, he was able to say this: "No one is as capable of gratitude as one who has emerged from the kingdom of night. We know that every moment is a moment of grace, every hour an offering." I was going to teach a course over at the prison. And sometimes at the beginning of class, I like to have a little devotional. And it's not a Bible class or anything like that. So I have a little devotional at the beginning of class. And sometimes I like to use the Red Sea rules, because you can go through, there are 10 rules, and I can go through them in 10 weeks. And I thought, I wonder. The first rule is, realize that God has you where he wants you. What would you? And then I thought, no, I've taught other courses in prison. These guys understand that. They understand that. They understand that God has them where he wants them. They understand that even though they may be in very, very extremely difficult physical circumstances, God has brought them to a spiritual place where they understand his grace. And that's what I say to you now. God has you here now under these circumstances to accomplish his purpose in your life. Is he accomplishing his purpose? Are we cooperating with him as he accomplishes his purpose? Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. It's a way of life. It's a state of mind. We ought, said C.S. Lewis, to give thanks for all fortune. If it's good, because it's good. If it's bad, because it works in us patience and humility and the contempt of this world and the hope of our eternal country. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I want to close with a story. And with this, we're finished. Back in the old days, they had steamships. And on these steamships, you know, the shipping, passenger shipping business was just beginning. And on the steamships, they had two conditions of living. There were the cabin passengers and the steerage passengers. The cabin passengers, of course, had their cabins and they ate in the dining room. And the steerage passengers had a big room down low in the hull of the ship. And they slept on mats without any covers or anything like that. And they cooked their own food and they made do as best they could as they crossed the ocean. And there was an individual who was a cabin passenger, and he was in the dining salon one day. And he was, sometimes you sit kind of randomly at different tables. And he was seated at a table with an individual who was extremely obnoxious. And this individual said, "This food is terrible. I can't understand." And he complained all the time. It was one complaint after another until finally our friend who was observing this got up from the table and went out on deck and began to walk toward the aft of the ship. And he was pondering what this clown had been complaining about. And he came across, sitting on the deck of the ship, an old man. He was leaned against a coil of rope. And the old man took from his pocket a package wrapped up in paper. And he unwrapped it. And he took off his cap. And he bowed his head. And obviously gave thanks. Thankfulness does not depend on our circumstances. It depends on our heart.